adversity. None of us here today are excluded from it, are we? We've all tasted of adversity. And Scripture is clear, and our experience confirms two things. The first is that trials will come. James writes, when, not if, trials come. And the second thing is the trials of various kinds. Don't they come in different forms, different degrees? I see you men nodding. These are the two truths that are associated with all trials. We can expect them, and they will come in various forms. Well, I want to tell you a story. A big trial, it felt at the time for me, but in reality, not a big deal, something very small. My wife and I were able to buy a home last month, a home that we were very excited about. Not too far from here, a bigger piece of land, really something that we'd been dreaming about for some time. Well, only 10 days into owning this home, a large thunderstorm came through with high winds. Some of you might remember this. It was the largest one I can remember in some time. And these high winds knocked down trees all over property, took out a couple windows, took out a gutter. We just didn't know what to think. I actually drove home from church over to the property, and let me just say, I was not rejoicing in that moment. This was something that was an adversity for me. In that moment, as I came over the property and saw the downed trees, of which actually I brought a huge chunk of one of them, our neighbors thought, based on the sound of the storm, a tornado was coming through. And when we got there and saw chunks of tree like this all thrown throughout the backyard, we definitely were wondering if a tornado had come through. But the point is this. I did not respond in that moment with joy to this adversity the Lord had brought. In fact, I was complaining. It was a pain for me to have to clean up my property. It was a nuisance. It was something I'd rather not deal with. He gave me a bunch of firewood. That's outstanding. What I'm so grateful for is not the fact that this trial, this small adversity came my way, but that God stopped me of my complaining heart and allowed me to repent of the complaining, the sin that was in my life, and count it all joy, just as James writes, so that I know this is for the testing of my faith, that I might be strong, perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Well, I'm glad to say the house has been repaired. It didn't take much more than a couple new windows, a few trips to Home Depot, and a big chainsaw. But it's all resolved. But more importantly, I'm learning how to count this all joy. I'm convinced that God is calling each of us this morning, myself included, to do this. Rejoice in the adversity that God has designed for your good. I'm going to say that again because it's important. Let's rejoice in the adversity that God has designed for our good. Most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, which we need to be, have a problem with that. Maybe we could endure the adversity, but rejoice? Come on, Mike. Come on, James. Come on, God. Can we really do that? It too often seems like an unreasonable expectation, doesn't it? However, it's not the adversity that's to be the grounds for our joy. Rather, it's the outcome. It's the work that God's doing it. It's the blessing through the adversity that we're to rejoice in, because God, an all-knowing and exceedingly wise God, is about the work of growing us and testing us in our faith, that we might be strong and steadfast. You cannot count the experience of adversity all joy unless you know the purpose of adversity. In fact, here's the purpose. God's sovereign good purpose for our lives through adversity, that's what we're to rejoice in. If our brother Charles Spurgeon were here with us men, and I wish he were, he would say the following. The way to stronger faith usually lies along the rough path of sorrow. Only as faith is tested will faith be confirmed. I do not know if my experience is similar to all that of God's people, but all the grace I received in comfortable and easy times could lie on a penny. But the good I have received from sorrow, grief, and pain cannot be calculated. Isn't that true for us, men? It's true, isn't it? The times that we are faced with tests and adversity and pain and trial, we press into God. A God who meets us in our need. And it's in those moments that we receive grace that honestly cannot be calculated. We don't even know the measure of the good that God's done through those things in our lives. But God does not ask us to rejoice because we've lost our job, or because a friend has been diagnosed with cancer, or because a child of ours has been given some birth defect that will follow them for the rest of their days, or because you fill in the blank with whatever trial you're facing this morning. God calls us to rejoice because He and He alone is in control of every single detail of our lives. It's not merely our will or our actions or something we're doing. God is the one who's in control of these things. And I want us, each of us, to be assured of this. No matter how severe the adversity, no matter how difficult, be assured that God will not tempt us beyond what we can bear. If He provides the trial, if He provides the difficulty, He will give us the grace necessary to rise up against it, to grow through it, to be sustained through it. And because we're together as men this morning, I think I have an appropriate picture of what God's after in our lives. Do you men lift weights? Amen? You should. I think the picture that will serve us this morning is us at the bench press with God as our trainer. We're lying on our backs ready to lift whatever weight our trainer, our Lord, our God, our all exceedingly wise God places. And I have this picture of Him going to the rack and taking a 45-pound plate, putting it on one side. Going to the other side, taking another 45-pound plate, putting it on. Plate after plate after plate after plate. The weight seems insurmountable. How will we lift this weight? If He puts 300 pounds on the bench, not a lot of us could lift it. But if He calls us to lift 300 pounds, He will supply the grace necessary. He won't just supply the grace for us to lift 180. No, this is an exceedingly wise God who's placing weight upon us through adversity that we might lift and develop those muscles of faith, those muscles that can only be cultivated through adversity and trial. I want us to know God simply does not bring these trials, this pain, these difficulties into our lives to produce pain, to produce trial, to produce difficulties. But it's a part of a magnificent plan that an all-wise, exceedingly great God places in our lives for you personally. Go back to the weight illustration for a second. Not all of us are going to have the same weight. Amen? Some of us will carry a very small load, but it's designed perfectly for your good. Some of us will feel like we have far more than we could ever bear. But remember that God has designed this weight perfectly for you, that you might grow, be complete, lacking in nothing. Friends, I'm aware that some of you are in the midst of great trial. Trial that I am not familiar with. Trial that I want to come alongside you this morning and mourn and cry and do these things. But friend, no matter how severe your trial, I know you can rejoice and you can be steadfast under trial because of what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we think of adversity, when we think of the greatest adversity possible, we think of our sin, don't we, men? We think of the insurmountable distance between a holy God and sinful man, such as you and I. And this adversity, this difficulty, this problem, God has met with perfect grace through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. And it's through the giving of His Son. It's through the provision of salvation. It's through reconciling us to Himself through Jesus Christ that we can rejoice, no matter how severe our trial. What action is God calling you to right now, today, in this moment, to count your difficulties all joy? James used the language, all joy, counting it all joy. Counting is a verb. It involves action, it involves hard work, it involves sweating. It involves times where you feel like giving up, but pressing on. Times you feel like becoming angry. To trust in God. And let me say this. How we respond today, how we respond tomorrow, how we respond for the rest of our lives is a loud statement to a watching world. It's a testimony of how we view our God. Is God really in control? Is He all good? Our lives, as we trust Him, as we rejoice in the midst of trial, no matter how great the trial, it testifies of this truth. If we choose today, because of our trial, to leave here and be consumed with our difficulty, like I was in that moment about the trees coming down on my property and windows being knocked out, even though it was a small thing by measure, we show a watching world that our God is no longer sovereign. Our God is no longer good. But in the midst of adversity, as we live lives rejoicing in Him who has saved us, rejoicing in the One who has a great and good plan for our lives, we testify, we show a watching world, we show each other that God can be trusted, that God is sovereign, and that God is good. Your joyful response today in the blessing of adversity testifies of a sovereign God. As I've mentioned the story, very small story, about the trees coming down and the house being affected, perhaps you could have identified with a complaining heart. Well, Spurgeon once again has a wonderful quote to leave us with. Great trials are the clouds from which God showers great mercies. Let me say that again. Great clouds are the clouds from which God showers great mercies. We can, with God's help, rejoice in the adversity that God has designed for our good.